Fan on Demand. Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Pitchers and catchers reporting to Blue Jays spring training tomorrow. At least they're forced to. I mean, that's the mandatory reporting date. I imagine they're all there right now. Mike Wilner's the host of Blue Jays Baseball, joins me on the line right now. Now, Mike, I know you're going to be there eventually, but are you there now?
No, I'll be there Friday.
Where are you?
No, I'm not there now. Now I'm well, you know, you of all people know about the joys of traveling standby.
Yeah, oh, it's a joy. I recall trying to get home from Florida during March break and having to spend an evening at some old lady's trailer park home before I could get on a flight to Islip, New York the next day. But yeah, no, I've had some issues.
Right. So my daughters and I were planning on going away on a nice I was going to take them to Orlando, actually, and we had set up, and we were going to go SeaWorld, Legoland, and Disney, and all these wonderful things, and all that needed to happen was to get a flight, and there's this winter storm PAX or something that plowed through the Northeast, and so it's canceled a bunch of flights, and it screwed everything up. So we spent all of Thursday in the airport trying to get on any flight that would just get us south. Anywhere south. Atlanta would have been fine. Raleigh, Washington.
No, but it's icy in Atlanta. You really want to go to Atlanta?
I would have gone to Atlanta. We would have driven from there. The ice was gone by then, by Thursday afternoon. And we would have driven to Florida from Atlanta or from Nashville. We couldn't get a flight to Nashville. And then, of course, all the flights from Florida. Maybe this is too inside, but you'll understand this. The last flight we tried to get on to Orlando Thursday afternoon after having missed, I don't know, 12 or 13 flights, the woman who is number one on the Air Canada seniority list was there as well trying to get on that flight, and she couldn't get on.
Yeah.
That's how bad things were.
Yeah.
So we wound up just having a lovely family getaway in a place that we could get to, and that's where we are now.
And, Minneapolis.
In Minneapolis.
Who wouldn't want to go to Minneapolis, though, in the middle of February, right?
No, I think it's absolutely. You know what? It's a wonderful vacation destination. And for all the jokes there are to be made of it, I mean, we would have liked to go to Chicago or any of those. You know, we would have gone west. We would have gone to L.A. or San Francisco. Couldn't get there either. But there is the Mall of America. And
yeah.
It's got a theme park in it.
Oh, really?
A water park. Yeah, and there's the Water Park of America next door, which is America's largest indoor water park. And there are some pretty cool ways to spend 3 days here.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be entertaining the kiddies. You'll have no
there's
problem
there. There's a statue of Mary Tyler Moore downtown.
We're really throwing the hat off?
Yep.
That's cool. I didn't realize I was in Minneapolis, actually. That's cool. All right, well, let's talk about Blue Jays, I guess. It'll be nice to see some of the images coming out at Dunedin as the weather starts to change, so I'm told. It's supposed to get a little warmer here in Toronto next week. But, Mike, I look at this team, and I look at the way it's constructed right now, the bench, and what is the contingency plan behind Adam Lind against lefties. I think there's so much work left to do, and I'm not freaking out because I think Alex Anthopoulos is going to put in the work, and this team is going to look not significantly different by opening day, but I think there's going to be at least a couple of new pieces on this team before things get going for real here. But we're getting pretty late in the game, Mike. I can't remember a spring training rolling along and so much yet to be decided for a Blue Jays team like it is this year.
No, I can't either. But I think the things that you're talking about there are the same guy. The bench strength
really?
And the Adam Lind partner are probably
And I'm also thinking they're going to add a starter. I really do think. I mean, those two guys that are out there, I think one of them is going to be a Blue Jay.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I certainly can't remember any time in the past where out of the top four starting pitcher free agents, two of them are unsigned when every team is reported. and by Tuesday, I think every team will have reported. That's insane, and so it's not that, you know, you can't say, well, the Blue Jays are moving slowly when they're both still out there and they haven't missed the boat on either one yet. But that bench guy, I mean, you've got Meister is probably on your bench. You've got Eric Kratz or Josh Tolley probably on your bench, which leaves two spots, and I'm pretty sure I'm forgetting someone. But then there's one more guy that I agree with you they'll bring in, but that may not happen until opening day. You know, I know that Alex likes to wait, and he likes to get the best deals that he can, and there are a lot of players out of options who suddenly become available the last week of spring training who are legit big leaguers, but there's, you know, they're caught in a numbers game or whatever. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of those guys was a guy that they brought in to be that platoon mate for Adam Lind if Moises Seara doesn't work out in spring training. And honestly, I think they have to do better than Moises Seara in that position. And I guess he or Anthony Gost is the third guy on that bench of four to which they'll add somebody. So I'm not, you know, it's weird that it's so late in the game, but I do think that those things are going to get done.
Now, you mentioned Seara. He is out of options, correct? And Anthony Gost has at least one more year, 2 years of options? 1 year, at least.
I think he has two more options.
Okay, so
he has two.
So Seara has to stay up with the big club, or they risk having to put him through waivers to get him down to the minor leagues, or they can consider trading him. And we know that they have considered trading him. He's an interesting guy for me as far as an option against lefties. Because we've seen him show some pop, and we know he's not going to put up big on base numbers, Mike. But and he can be a bit of a head scratcher in the field when he's playing. We know he's got an arm that might be one of the best in all the major leagues, and we can throw him, Bautista, and Gost, all three across the outfield there. That might be the best throwing outfield in all of Major League Baseball. But I don't know if he's ever going to be a regular in the majors. But I feel like the view of him might even be stronger outside the organization than it is by Alex Anthopoulos.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think what's important that we have to remember about him is that he's only 24. You know, we've heard his name for so long, and it feels like he's been around forever because they signed him when he was 16. So it's tough sometimes to remember just how young he is. And I'm not all that high on him, to be honest with you. I don't think, you know, he's never been a lefty crusher in his day. He's never shown that sort of platoon split where he's been a guy who destroys lefties, and he's, you know, he's been just a pretty okay hitter throughout his minor league career. We know there's a lot of raw power in there. Like you said, he's not an on-base guy, though he did walk a ton in September, which is more than he's ever done in his career. So maybe he's developing, or maybe it was just that one four-walk game that he had that pushes those numbers up. But I think that other teams do see the tools and the raw ability and the power and the arm and might be pretty excited about him. I don't think you can get a big league starter for him or anything like that, but I am surprised that actually that they haven't traded him over the course of this winter. And maybe if they had signed that righty crusher to share time with Adam Lind, they would have made a move on him by now. But I'm very interested to see what role they give him in the spring and how much work they give him and what we see out of him and what the potential is for his ability to either make the team, make them make a tough decision, or get somebody really interested enough to pull the trigger on a deal for him the last week of spring.
Do you think the Blue Jays maybe learned anything from trading away Yan Gomes to the Indians last year? And they got Esmel Rogers in a roundabout way, and he's a fine little piece, swing guy.
Who also comes to camp out of options.
Yeah, well, I mean, he'll probably be that long guy again in the bullpen, I suppose. But Yan Gomes, and I know he played limited games last year, just 88 as the backup in Cleveland, but man, I mean, an 826 OPS, and I know he's never going to be a high walk guy, and he did nothing but impress with the Blue Jays during his time with them in a backup role and in spring training. He did everything right, pretty good defender as well. And I think it's probably a deal if you ask Alex Anthopoulos. Don't you think he'd like a do-over on that one? And maybe does that kind of tie into Moises Seara in that maybe there's more to be had there that than maybe they believe?
I wonder. They seem like separate things to me. And remember,
but kind of similar. Righty bats that don't walk a whole bunch but have a little pop.
Yeah. But for Gomes, first of all, we have to remember it was 1 year, and it was really 1.5 year, as you mentioned. And he did a lot of unimpressive things while he was with the Blue Jays. I think he had like a 1-for-32 or something along those lines while he was up for a while after he got hits in his first couple of games or something. And he looked completely overmatched at the major league level. And then last year he was a backup in a good role, and we'll see what happens this year now that he's going to catch every day for the Indians and see if that'll help. See if he'll be able to do it if he can build off what he did last year. Look, the best trades you make are the trades where you do well and they do well too, right? So Cleveland is very happy with the trade right now. But again, it's 1 year in. But he wasn't out of options, and he was a guy who was seemingly blocked at the time by J.P. Arencibia and who was thought of as a backup catcher and really not more than that, and they got a big arm for him, so I don't think they regret that. But I think if they trade Sierra and he winds up blossoming, which could very well happen, you know, you've got to be confident that you've got your outfield of Cabrera, Rasmus, and Bautista, that he wasn't going to be able to crack that. The Ghost is ahead of him too, so he's going to be a backup here or a platoon first baseman. If you can get something you like for him, then you do it.
Yeah, and we'll have to see what the Blue Jays do there. Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Sticking with that outfield a little bit, Mike, Colby Rasmus in his final year of arbitration this year. He's a free agent at the end of this year. Is it going to be a wait-and-see thing, in your opinion, for Alex Anthopoulos, just to see how the season plays out and then maybe the end of the year? I mean, if he goes off and has a monster year, I mean, even a year like he had last year, which I think he was underrated, maybe, I don't know, do Blue Jays fans underrate him? I think he had a great season, .840 OPS. What's not to like? Now, maybe like the on-base a little higher, but it was .338. He just slugged like crazy at .501. If he has another season like that again, Mike, I mean, that could be a pretty big number he's looking at in free agency. What do you think Alex Anthopoulos is going to do about his center fielder?
I think they're going to let it play out. And I think, you know, we may see if he goes off and there's a big year, he may not want to lock up. But we may see them do something similar to what they did to Edwin a couple of years ago, where they signed him to an extension at the All-Star break. But I don't know how much they want to sign him to an extension when they have Ghost,
but you don't know what you have in Ghost, though, right? You don't know if he's an everyday player.
You don't know what you have in Rasmus either. Well,
I think it's hilarious
how people's minds have changed on him.
Not me.
You know, no, not you, but the general consensus, you know, push the clock back 330 days. And people were calling for him to be released out of spring training because he was so terrible and couldn't play baseball. And now, you know, they want a 5-year, $80 million contract for the guy. And it's we got to remember, you know, not to let the things that have just happened play that much more than the overall. I've always thought he could play, and I think he can play. And I wonder, though, how much he's worth on a long-term extension. When we saw two terrible years out of him before last season. And last season, which was good, wasn't nearly as good as he's been in the past.
Well, he did come pretty close to his career high in OPS, .840 last year. He was .859 back in 2010, so it was pretty close. And he only played 118 games last year, where 144 in that big season with the Cardinals. But, it's not the biggest concern for this Blue Jays team. That probably lies at second base and adding that starting pitcher as well. Maybe let's start with the starting pitcher. You and Ken Rosenthal had differing views on the Irvin Santana thing a couple of days ago where Ken...
No, we didn't.
Well, sort of. No, we no, didn't. No. You see, he said...
The incomprehension.
Okay, all right.
He said that the Blue Jays and Orioles were among the teams that had made contact with Irvin Santana.
I thought he said that made an offer. Okay, no, so you're saying they did not make an offer. Okay, so you both agree they didn't make an offer.
No. Nobody said anything about an offer.
All right.
he said that the Blue Jays and Orioles were among multiple teams that had made contact with his agency, and that he was getting really close to signing a deal, which obviously whether he was or wasn't, he didn't sign, and that was a week and a half ago. But all I said was he was not really close to signing with the Blue Jays.
Yes. Vindication. No, I'm just kidding. I know, Mike. I know. Okay, I followed the whole situation. Maybe not down to a T, obviously. But yes, okay. So you were both. Nobody was wrong here. I'm just saying.
Nope, nobody was wrong. He was right, and I clarified his rightness.
Yes.
From the Blue Jays' perspective.
Okay. Has anything changed from that point for the Blue Jays and Irvin Santana?
No, not as far as I know. And I did run into Alex Anthopoulos at the airport on Thursday while I was waiting around. He happened to have confirmed tickets, and they were probably in business class for his flight to Tampa. So he's down there already in Florida. And no, nothing's changed. There was a report a couple of days ago that they're trying to get him or Jimenez at 3 years and $27 million.
Yeah.
And John Heyman said something about the Blue Jays had a target to spend $9 million on a starting pitcher. And if they can pull either one of those guys in for that kind of dough, that would be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But if I was either one of them and being offered that kind of dough, as all I could get, I would probably pull back and try to get a 1 or 2 year contract so I could head back out on the market after the Players Association figures out how to get around this rule, the draft compensation thing that's killing the market for some very, very good players. So I would be surprised to see either one of them sign at 3 and 27. They're probably likelier to sign 2 and 20 or something like that. But no, I don't think anything has changed on that front quite yet. And we will see this week to come with every team fully involved in their spring training how much longer Jimenez and Santana can wait.
AJ Burnett signs with the Phillies, 1 year deal, I believe about $16 million. So a little bit more than what Santana or Ubaldo are going to sign for, but just the 1 year commitment. Would you, obviously it's not all your decision. He gets to decide where he wants to go. But if you're Alex Anthopoulos and the Blue Jays, would you have rather had that AJ Burnett deal than one of Santana or Jimenez?
Well, it depends on what I'm going to wind up paying Santana or Jimenez. I mean, I like 1 year. I don't mind $16 million when there's no draft pick attached to him.
Yeah.
I kind of, if I can get Santana or Jimenez for 2 and 20 plus a second rounder, I think I'm fine with that too.
Do you think, Mike, that something is going to happen here? First of all, would you put the likelihood more on the Blue Jays landing Jimenez or Santana here? As it looks like nothing's close with either one, but would you say that it's more likely the Blue Jays end up signing Jimenez than Santana at this point?
Honestly, I don't know.
Oh.
I really don't know who they prefer, who they'd rather have, or if it's a matter of whichever one says yes first, we'll take because they're so close.
Mm-hmm.
They're both very durable. Jimenez obviously has a much higher ceiling, but he also loves to walk people, and Santana loves to give up home runs. So there's the problem with him. But you're going to get 180 to 200 innings out of either one of them if they maintain what they've done to this point in their career, and you're probably going to get an ERA around 4. So with Ubaldo, you got a chance for it to be closer to 3. I really don't know who they prefer, and I think at this point, it's just a matter of whichever one says yes first, that's the one they'll sign. But even if spring training goes well and they still sit out there like Kyle Loesch didn't sign until the last week of spring training last year, you know, even if Brandon Morrow has a great spring and looks healthy and Dustin McGowan has a great spring and looks healthy and all that stuff and Ricky Romero has a great spring and J-Hap, I think they know that they can't really count on any of those guys. So they're still going to be out there looking and trying to bring people in.
Hey, I tweeted out the other day, and full disclosure, I think people know that Rogers owns this radio station and the air you breathe and the Toronto Blue Jays and had some disappointing quarter results the other day. I do wonder about that stuff, Mike, when you're talking about a budget going forward and one that went up pretty significantly last year, and you're talking about maybe piling on another $20 million this offseason, and they still haven't done it. I wonder what the effect is, and if there are conversations that happen behind closed doors between Alex and Paul Beeston and Guy Lawrence and whatever about what the budget is and how much money there is to spend for this team this offseason.
I'm sure there are those conversations, but I do know that Rogers sets their budgets out well in advance. So, yeah. You know, little blips on the earnings statement don't affect things immediately, but they may well affect things in the future. And I'm sure a lot of those conversations are, look, you know what, you got to win. And if you have another year like you had last year, and we're pouring all this money in, you guys are going to be looking for another job. And they may well pull back on the money. So I'm very sure that the conversations are happening, but it's not about, hey, we can't afford to spend this winter. It's about, you know, it's time to start getting something done or get off the pot.
Steven Drew's a name that's still out there. And a guy that I would like for the Blue Jays to have a good long look at to play second base for this team for 162 games. Or I mean, he is a Drew, so not 162 games, maybe 110, and not, 120.
And not against lefties.
Okay, fine. But he's still out there. And, I mean, the free agent market has been a very slow developing one in Major League Baseball. Are you hearing anything new on that? Are there conversations with Drew's representatives now? We're seeing maybe Yankees renewing talks or at least starting talks with him. Anything Blue Jays-wise with Steven Drew?
I can't believe the Yankees haven't signed him already, to be yep. honest with you. You know, they have needs at second and third and short.
They're a disaster. That infield, I have no idea how the Yankees go into the season with what they've got on that infield outside of Mark Teixeira. Even Mark Teixeira, that guy's going to be a DH. He's got a DH at least half the time this year, right? I mean, it's crazy. And then you've got Alfonso Soriano.
Derek Jeter and Kelly Johnson.
Brendan Ryan. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Well, Brendan Ryan's a phenomenal shortstop.
Yes.
I play him there. Just for his glove.
Sure. That's a zero offensively.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's an absolute zero offensively. But I'd put him there just for his glove.
But yeah, the Blue Jays and Steven Drew.
Regardless. Yeah, you know what? I haven't heard anything. I know that they're interested, and I know that they would love to have him come and play second base. I don't know if he's interested in being a second baseman just yet, and a lot of times it's about the player who has to come to that point where he says, well, all right, I'm a shortstop, but they want me to play second base, so I want to play shortstop, and maybe someone will give me an opportunity to play shortstop somewhere. And that could still happen. So he may be waiting on that. Which is not to say the Blue Jays have made him an offer or anything, but I'm sure they've spoken to him and his representatives and said, yeah, we're interested in you coming here to play second, and maybe even talked about the parameters of an offer, but nothing's happened yet, and they are not in love with going to spring training with Ryan Goins and Meiser Asturias.
Nor should they be.
Gets at second base, yeah. Nor should they be. So I think we'll see as this market continues to develop, and if the Blue Jays sign a starting pitcher, then all of a sudden Steven Drew only costs them a third round draft pick, and they can afford to cough up a little more dough maybe, and maybe that'll help things.
Mike, let's talk about Derek Jeter. He's a guy I think we have pretty similar viewpoints on. You think he's among the best offensive shortstops, and when you consider the offense, you can overlook some defensive things. He makes a routine play every single time, seemingly.
Ball hit to his left.
No, but that's not a routine play for him, Mike. I said routine plays. Yeah. But he will go down. I mean, I never saw Honus Wagner. I don't know if you did, Mike, but he's going to be one of the best shortstops of all time. So maybe say something positive about Derek Jeter.
Well, I've said it before. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I would vote for him, absolutely. He is one of the greatest offensive shortstops of all time. There you go. You want something positive. He may well wind up going into the Hall of Fame with the greatest percentage of ballots cast in history.
All right, so now snark on about Derek Jeter.
Unless Mariano Rivera does it first, I guess.
Yeah.
He's announcing his retirement. It's been a wonderful career. It's almost 20 years in the major leagues, and it should be a career that's celebrated. I think it will likely be over-celebrated, but hey, whatever.
I just hope he stays on the field. I just hope he's able to play.
Last year, 18?
17.
Yeah. So hopefully he'll be able to play. And he, you know, you talk about Teixeira having to spend half the season at DH. He might have to, too. Or he might wind up playing a little second, although I don't think he would ever stand for any position other than shortstop on the field, which is one thing that I think doesn't speak well of Derek Jeter over the course of his career. But regardless, it is what it is. Look, he's going to be lauded and celebrated as one of the greatest shortstops of all time, as one of the most clutch players of all time. That's not true. The greatest shortstop thing of all time is not true. The three gold gloves he won were an absolute joke. But the truth of the matter is, look, he won five championships as part of a 25-man roster. He played on teams that were in the playoffs every year. His performance in the playoffs did not suffer relative to his performance in the regular season, and there's something to be said for that. And he was a hero in New York. He kept his nose clean, stayed out of trouble, gave good gift baskets, got big hits.
And landed some impressive women as well.
I
don't know why this turned into a thing, but whenever someone retires, and I almost think that it started with Mariano Rivera last year, the giving of gifts with every stop that you go to. I guess it has to continue.
I think if you're a Hall of Famer who's played a couple of decades, then yeah, that's how people have done farewell tours before.
No, I know, but gifts at each location, and the Blue Jays gave Mariano a nice little sculpture, Inuit sculpture, yep. If I recall last year. So they didn't give anything to Andy Pettit, and rightly so. But I wonder. I guess you got to do the same sort of deal with Derek Jeter. That's going to be a tough ticket, actually. When is that? Have you looked at the schedule the last time the Yankees are in Toronto?
No, I haven't.
I'll check it out right now.
Probably the last couple of weeks of September, but I don't know.
What about dealing with him as a member of the media? I know for me, he doesn't do a lot of one-on-ones from what I understand, but he seemed pretty accommodating whenever you see him in a scrum, and seems like a pretty agreeable guy as far as dealing with the media, not standoffish at all. I thought he was pretty good. Seemed like an actually legitimately good guy.
I don't know. You know what? I've never had that kind of conversation with him.
Can't you sense from people? Like, you know, talking to Alex Rodriguez, he just didn't seem... Can't you get a read on people? I feel like I can. And I felt like... I know maybe it's judging a book by its cover too much, but I do feel like I can get a pretty good sense of people, even if it is just hearing them speak in a scrum, but you see them walk around, talk to other people. He seems like a legitimately good guy.
I know that you can't get a read on
any
professional athlete, anything
way
ever. They'll only let you see what they want you to see, and that's the smart thing for them to do. And behind closed doors and with their teammates there, they are often themselves. And you do kind of get the sense that Alex Rodriguez is never himself and is always kind of wondering. I can't remember who wrote it. Some New York sports writer or a national guy, and it was a brilliant thing. He said, you get the sense that Alex Rodriguez is always thinking, what would Alex Rodriguez do in this situation? And it's brilliant, and it's true. But everybody else, I mean, honestly, I think I know a few of the guys, but I know that I don't really.
Yeah.
And having not been down in the clubhouse for a post-game scrum for the last 13 years, I really haven't had any time with Derek Jeter.
He doesn't do
a lot of one-on-ones, so I've never had one of those, and I really haven't talked to him that much.
Yeah, I'll probably just do one big media conference for that last series. It is August 31st. August 31st, the Blue Jays' last game of the season against the Yankees, and hopefully, if he's still healthy, Derek Jeter's final game at Rogers Center. Enjoy Minneapolis, Mike, and how could you not in the middle of February?
Absolutely true.
Thanks, Mike.
All right.